we began a little bit to teach on 1 John, almost line upon line Wednesday. A lot of people, talked to some people, they said they really enjoyed it. What they enjoyed was the presence and the truth that came out of it. That's what it's all about, right? The walking in the truth. There is nothing like truth. And let me tell you something, the church is void of it. And some of you might say, well, Homer, how do you know that you're not void of truth or that you're right? Well, I hear so much. I hear so much, and I think to myself, and millennials get a lot of blame for not reading their Bible, and a lot of them don't. I hear millennials say a lot, I just can't read my Bible. No, that's not that you can't, it's because you don't want to. Just, I can't read my Bible, seems like a logical excuse. When you're hungry, what do? You eat. When you're bored, you turn on the TV. I guarantee you, none of you misses your favorite football game. But yet, you can't read. But you know what? I hear a lot of grown-ups too, and I think they're not reading either. What's taught and what's said and what's believed, and I'm trying my best not to keep a general ledger inside my mind, because it's easy to keep a general ledger. And I hear what's taught, and thank God for a season I can't see, because I don't want to see the junk that's on Facebook. People putting stuff like this is beyond me. Beyond me. Beyond. I don't know what Bible people read. God is in control of all things. Or God has the say so in this matter. What Bible are you reading? God is in control of all things. You tell that to the 100,000 Haitians that were killed because of an earthquake. You tell that to the mama that lost a 4-year-old child that God is in control. You dummy. Please find it for me in the New Testament teaching of Jesus Christ. Please find it for me. Show me the verse and the chapter in context that God is in control of all things. Show me. You can't, because it does not exist. But yet it's so repeated. Somebody posted the other day, God's about to overrule you. Well, I wish he would overrule my lack of faith and open up my eyes. If he's in control, I wish he would overrule my unbelief and open up my eyes. It's not the way it works, my friends. We're told to believe the scriptures. We're told, instructed to believe God's word and to live our life out of that eternal life that abides. Never does a New Testament teaching say that God is in control. You can make God's word say whatever you want it to say if you take it out of context. And the church does. Man said to me, I'll pray for you. If it be God's will, he opened up your eyes. Don't pray for me, you big dummy. Because your prayer avails to nothing much to me. I know his will. I know his will. Well, if this was a pastor, degree in theology, I'll pray for you, brother, that it be God's will that he open your eyes. Wait a minute. Either Jesus died on the cross or he didn't. Either he atoned for my darkness, for my sickness, or he didn't. It's not his fault that I don't believe. It's never the word's fault. Never. I get mad, Ralph. I get mad because those people on Facebook, they have a platform. And people listen to them. God's about to overrule some of you. Please overrule me, God. Please overrule my faith. I want to see my kids. Please overrule my unbelief. Faith worketh by love. We do not have a comprehension of what it is. We don't understand the word of God, and we don't understand what love is. If we understood what love is, me and you wouldn't make the mistakes that we make. Because me and you, so many of you think sometimes because I say certain things that I'm talking to you, most of the time I preach out of the areas that I failed in. But since you fail in the same area, you think I'm talking about you. It's in general. Like Pastor David say, I'm going to have my day in court. If I'm going to be judged for being wrong, let me be judged for me interpreting the Bible wrong. And I guarantee you, as the Holy Ghost, as a teacher, we don't get it wrong. 90% of what I grew on was all a lie to me. I was told by a deacon, I say the word, come on, man, let's go. A deacon told me, you can't say the word man. I can't say the word man. Man. Man, I can't say man. We do not understand what the love of God is. We're going to go through what the love of God is. God has the final say so in every matter. Then, if that's the case, Ralph, then why do I got to pray? Why pray? Why fast? God, you have the final say so. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast to walk in more love, and then you're going to kill me? That doesn't even sound right, man. Somebody told that to somebody dear in my life. And they have somebody that's not doing good in their life. And somebody out of maybe a good intention, but out of ignorance. God has the final say so in this matter. Oh my God. I get mad sometimes. No, I get mad a lot of times when I hear this foolishness. How do you know you're right, Homer? Because I take one book and I'll meditate it over and over and over and over and over, sometimes for weeks, sometimes dozens of times a day, over and over. Not till I can quote it, but till I see the image of it. Because the Pharisees could quote the word of God and they were straight out from hell. Till I get it. So if you're going to come preach to me, you better bring it right, baby. I'm telling you, better. I've been passive before. I'm not being passive anymore. You're going to bring it. You're going to try to correct me. You better make sure you're bringing it. Who do you think you are? I'm nobody. I'm just a son of God, according to 1 John chapter 3. That's all I am. But there's so much foolishness out there. The love of God. 1 John chapter 2, an introduction a little bit into what the love of God is. You can follow with me or you can look at your iPad or whatever. John, the account of what love is in the book of 1 John was not told to John by a person outside of Christ. What John wrote to me and you, what he heard from Jesus. This was not second or third hand information. What John wrote is what he heard from the Lamb of God. Isn't that awesome that we get to hear and read the words of a man that walked with Jesus? Think about it. He didn't write what somebody told him to write. He wrote what he heard from God in the flesh. I've written to you. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you, fathers. I write unto you, little children. I write unto you what I heard firsthand from the Lamb of God. John, you mean you didn't get your preaching from some nut on Facebook? No. I heard it from the Lamb of God. God in the flesh. He said this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3, maybe. I don't know. I don't keep up with numbers. Said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. With the Son, no. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By this, we do know that we what? That we know him. If we hear him. Amen? No, it's not amen. That's wrong. It's not what the scripture says. By this we do know that we know him if we hear him. No, 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 no. It doesn't say that. It said, by this we do know that we know him if we keep his command. It has nothing to do with hearing him or feeling him, but everything to do with doing what he says. We have rewritten the scriptures without even knowing by our conduct in the church. By this, we know that we know him if we feel him. That's why there's failure. We can't conclude. We do not have an image inside of us that the word of God is far from being a feeling, but a true kingdom reality to me and you. We don't have that concept. By this, John said, by this, we the beloved, we know that we know him if we feel him. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. He says that this is how we know. This is how we know the family person of Immaculate. This is how we know that we know him. That we keep his commandments. We have restructured it without even saying it, that we walk according to what we feel. That alone is a revelation itself. We can ever grasp that this walk has nothing to do with feelings. Yet the majority of the decisions in the kingdom of God are based on decisions. I mean, on feelings. We're never instructed to walk this life in Christ according to kingdom principles, according to what we feel. Yet we do. John said, there's one thing that validates of a truth that a believer knows God. If he or she keeps the commandments of Christ, which is the doctrine of God. Nothing else in the scripture validates that truth that a believer knows God outside of his word. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God and God are one thing. You do not serve God walking in darkness. You are mistaken to a T if you think you can live outside of that eternal life and have fellowship with him. We are an absolute 100% error. One thing validates the truth that a believer walks in fellowship with the Father. That's if we keep his commandments. See, we keep that, we take that verse in partiality. When we feel like keeping it, we keep them. And when we don't, we won't. And I was meditating these scriptures the other day about the love of God. If there's anything in the world that I want to understand and have an image of, is the love of God. Because if I can grasp that love, if I can grasp it and walk in it, therein is revival. Christians have told me, I have an adopted son named Quentin Fuller. Christians have told me, give up on him. He's no good. Christians, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled Christians have told me, give up on him. You can't love him the same as you do your other kids because he's not yours. Oh, my God. You dummy. You can't ever love a kid that's not yours the same way that you do your other kids. You must not be born again then. You must not be born again. If you can't love someone that's not your own biological kid because he's not your biological kid, then you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know who he is. We don't know what the love of God is. We don't know what it is. As I was going through the book of 1 John the other day, just the Lord, I slipped in the spirit and started thinking about Genesis 22. I was going to have Kirsten read it, but I'm not. I'm just going to exhort on it, on the love of God. And I beg you, hear me. We know what God asked Abraham to do. The Bible said in 22 of Genesis that God tempted Abraham and said, take your son, your only son that you love. Listen to this now. All tied in to abiding in the love of God. Paul said, after these things, God tempted Abraham and said, take your son, your only son whom you love, and take him to this designated place. And by the way, slay him. Her? Slay him? The Bible says, the very next day, early in the morning, Abraham journeyed to slay his son. And immediately I began to think of my kids. I got six kids, Four of them are my biological kids. The other two aren't. I got 11 grandkids. Out of the 11 grandkids, only two are my biological grandkids. The other ones are not. But I call all of them all the time. And they all, listen to me, I beg you, listen to me. And they all have a different voice. I can have a bad day, yet I hear their voice. It's like if you gave me $1 million, hearing the voice of my kids. My older daughter says, Priscilla, and no one can say it like her. Hey, Daddy. It's precious to me. Julie says, hey, Dad. I bet you know who says this. Sup, Dad. Which one? Elijah. Sup, Dad. Now, Quentin, that's not my biological son. He's the only one. Now, Priscilla does too. That says, sup, Dad. And every time he kisses me on the cheek. Nathaniel, he says, hey. David, what's up, Sasquatchy? Or he'll call me Mikey, or he'll walk by me and stick his fingers all in my neck. Hey, David, how you doing, son? And I got whiplash, and that's just David. My granddaughters. Diamond K says, hey, Grandpa Homer, it's me, Diamond. And I know that's just cheap. Adriana says, hey, Grandpa Homer, it's me, Homer. Diamond, hey, Grandpa Homer, it's me, Cameron. The little one, Toad, I call her. Her name's Ariana. Her name. Hey, Grandpa Homer, it's me, Toad, your favorite. Drew, he don't say nothing. He just hugs me. He just hugs me. Jalen Ray, Grandpa, I love you mucho, Grandpa. Oh, my God, man. That's worth $1 million, isn't it? Grandpa, I love you mucho. The little one, the one that looks like King Kong, he'll go to my room. And every morning, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa! Priceless to me. Priceless to me. They're my kids. What we're after is the love of God. So I slid over into the spirit, started thinking about Genesis 22, how God tempted Abraham and said, take your son, your only son whom you love. Take him to a designated place and slay him. The Bible says Abraham got up early in the morning with two of his servants and his son. And they journeyed to the mountains of Moriah. Think about it now. Homer, take your son, David. No, first God said, Abraham, he said, here am I. Listen, that's vital. Here am I. Take your son David. And I just use David because David's different. David is crazy, man. He'll make you laugh in a heartbeat. And I started thinking about David. Abraham, here am I, Lord. Take your son, Isaac, whom you love, to a designated place and slay him. And he got up early in the morning to slay his son. He got two of his servants, a donkey, gathered the firewood, laid it on the donkey, and said, let's go, son. Let's go. Where are we going? Let's go, son. Bear with me. He received a directive from heaven to go to the mountains of Moriah. It took him 3 days to get there. 3 days. Can you imagine, as a parent, what must have gone through his mind for 3 days? He was faithful. He knew that the inheritance would be through Isaac. He knew that. But can you imagine, as a man, what he thought for 3 days? Days. Remember, we're looking for the love of God. God gave Abraham a directive. And I put myself in Abraham's shoes. I said, okay, Kevin and Carl, come on, come with me. David, come on, let's go. Where are we going, Dad? Come on. I say Kevin and Carl because Abraham picked two servants. I don't want to pick Renee and Addis because they're kind of small. Madison and Carl, they're big. I mean, Renee and, no, Kevin and Carl, they're big. I just can't see Renee and Addis defending my honor. I see them getting beaten up. But I see Carl and Kevin defending me with their big muscles. Come on, let's go, Kevin, Carl. Get up. Come on, David, let's go. Where are we going, Dad? Oh, come on, son. We're going to go away for a journey for a little bit. Okay, Dad. And I saw myself walking with David, holding his hand. It took 3 days now to get to a certain place on the mountains of Moriah where God would ask Abraham to take his son's life, to slay him. Put yourself there through the imagery of God's word. What we're after is, what is it? What is it to walk in love? What does it mean? 3 days. I can just imagine David after the first 15 minutes. Dad, it's kind of early. You know we like McDonald's this time of the day. I know, son. I know. Where are we going, Dad? Come on, son. Let's go. Okay, Dad. We've already walked a quarter of a mile. No McDonald's yet. I know, son. Come on. So I finally feed David. Thanks, Dad. You're the best. 10 minutes later, Dad, I looked up on the phone and there's a Little Caesars down the street. It's only $5, Dad. Okay, Dave, I got you, son. Come on. Not knowing what would behold him. 3 days. 3 days looking for the designated area shown to him by the Father to take his son's life. 3 days to think about this. You don't think every single thing that Isaac ever said and did would come to his mind in remembrance? Hey, Dad. Yes, son. Remember last year when I was playing baseball and the coach caught me with a hot dog in the dugout? And he said you couldn't eat a hot dog in the dugout, so I bit it and put the other half in my pocket, Dad. Remember that? Yeah, David. I remember. Where are we going, Dad? Just come on, son. Hey, Dad, remember when I was little, I hit you with a baseball in your eye and you cried? Yes, son, I remember it had a permanent effect on me, son. Yeah, that was good, right, Dad? Yeah, it was good, son. Where are we going, Dad? Come on, son. Hey, Dad, you know when I get home from school, I like going to sleep. Wake me up at 5 o'clock, Dad, because I got a game at 6:45 and I don't like having a headache when I wake up. Okay, son, I'll wake you up. You see where I'm going with this? The imagery of what he must have felt and thought and imagined as he journeyed with his son that he was going to sacrifice for 3 days. Hey, Dad, you and your mom going to be at my game? Heck yeah, son, I'll be at your game. Promise? Yeah, I'm going, son. Hey, Dad, what, David? You want to tussle? You want to wrestle? Yeah, we'll wrestle that after the game. All right, son. First night's over. He's by the campfire with me at night. We're after the love of God now. David's with me in the campfire. Here's a wolf, maybe a coyote, and he leans up on me. Hey, boy. Kevin's there. Carl's there. And I'm here. Nothing will happen to you. Thanks, Dad. You're the best. Hug him real tight. A million thoughts go through my mind. Day one's over. Day two, we're marching towards a designated area where the Father would have me to slay my son. Hey, Dad. Remember the other day I told you I was sick and didn't want to go to school? I remember. I was just playing. I just didn't want to go to school. I know, son. Where we going, Dad? Just come on, son. Come on. Love you, Dad. Love you, too. Hey, Dad. Yes, son. I want to play football this year. All right, son. We'll put you in football. I don't need to lift weights, Dad, because I'm already strong. Okay, son. You don't have to lift weights. Where we going, Dad? Just come on, son. Second night by the campfire, the same 11-year-old boy leans up in my bosom, scared because of the elements. Dad, what was that? Don't worry about it, son. I will always be here for you, son. I will always protect you, even with my life, David. Oh, man, Dad. Thanks. And we journey to the designated place that God the Father is going to show me to slay my son. Are you with me? Love you, Dad. Love you too. Second night by the campfire, I secure him in my bosom again. And he feels comforted. We wake up the third day and we journey towards that designated spot. Remember, what we're looking for is, what is it, what does it mean, according to God's word, to live according to the love of God? Now remember, this started with God said, Abraham said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Father gave him a directive. See, Abraham didn't just hear the directive, he lived it out. See, we're content in hearing and articulating the directive. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to live out the word of God. And then out of that living, then we're called to preach it. We got it so backwards. So backwards. Third day we wake up, headed to that designated spot. We're almost there, son, Dad? Yes, son. We're almost there. I can feel something inside of me, son. We're almost there. All right, Dad. Thank you. Then I'm walking. And the Holy Ghost says to me, "There it is. There's the spot." You look at the spot. You're looking. Okay. Then you look down. See the spot where I'm instructed to slay my son. Every thought as a man, as a father, goes through my mind. Every remembrance, every crazy statement, every lie, every truth that he's ever said to me, it just goes and saturates my mind. But Abraham keeps marching. David, the spot. David, the spot. David, the spot. Son, we're here. What do you mean we're here? We're here, son. Take this wood. I'm going to lay it on your back, son. Kevin and Carl, stay back. Me and David, we're going to this mountain to worship the Lord. But Kevin and Carl, we'll be back. Abraham knew something, didn't he? He said, "We'll be back." Dad, the wood's here, the fire's here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering, Dad? David, the Lord himself will provide himself a lamb for this burnt offering. Come on, son. And we march towards that designated spot. Remember, what we're after is, what does it mean to walk in the love of God? A directive was given to Abraham from the Father through an angel. Take your son whom you love, your only son whom you love, and take him to this spot and slay him. And he gets up early in the morning to fulfill a directive that he heard. He heard this directive from heaven. Take the only son that you love and slay him. Dad, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? David, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Come on. Kevin, Carl, stay back. Me and my boy are going to go over there, worship, and we'll come back to you. So Abraham marches up the mountains of Mount Moriah with his son Isaac on his side, carrying the wood that he's going to be burnt on. Carrying the wood. What do you think is going through his mind? Yet he marches forward. Dad, it's been 3 days. I'm tired. I know, son. It's almost over. Okay, Dad, I love you. I love you too, son. Remember what we're after is love is not an option. Remember what we're after. What does it mean to walk in the love of God? The Bible says that Abraham, he ties his son up. He builds an altar and lays the wood on the altar. And his son is bound up. And he lays the son, his son Isaac, on the altar. So I get David, I bind him up, and I lay him on the altar. What are you doing, Dad? Shh, David, make things easier for me, son. Why are you tying me up, Dad? Why? Don't you know I got a game tomorrow? Yeah, I know, son. We'll be there. Trust me, Dad. How can I trust you? You're laying me on an altar with wood and you're tying me up. What's going on, Dad? Shh, David. So I take my knife out. Abraham takes his knife out. He's about to slay his son. But before that happens, Isaac tells his dad, Father, Father. Abraham says, once again, here am I. He said in the beginning, when the angel of the Lord talked to him, Abraham, he says, here am I. Now, right before or in the middle of this temptation, Isaac says to Abraham, Father, he says, here am I. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? David, God will provide himself a lamb. Binds him up. Lays him on the wood that Isaac carried. And takes a knife out. And has to look at his son eyeball to eyeball. Maybe seconds from slicing his throat. Then the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham. What does he say again? Here am I. He starts off the temptation by saying, Abraham, here am I. Isaac asks him, Father, he says, here am I. Seconds from slaying his son, the angel says again, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. I was at the beginning of the temptation. I was there during the middle of the temptation. And right before it's about over, Father, I'm still standing here. I'm going to fulfill your word no matter how much it hurts me, Lord. Here am I. I'm at the family prayers in the Lord. Been here for years. We're contending for a revival. But you know what, Lord? Here am I. I'm not deviating. I'm enduring hardness as a good soldier. Abraham, Abraham, here am I. Don't lay your hands on the young man. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son from me. And a little bit farther down, he says, I know that you fear me because you have done this thing. But you know what? The thing that Abraham didn't do is the thing that the angel called done. Think about it. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son that you love from me, I know of a sure of a truth that you fear me. But what he didn't do is what God said he did. Are you with me there? What he didn't do, God said he did without laying a hand on his son. Why? Because in his heart, he would have done it till the very end. Lord, you gave me a directive. At the beginning of the directive, I was there. When those words were mentioned to me by your angel, I took them. I ran with them. In the middle of this temptation, when my son called out my voice, I was there. I was seconds from taking his life. I didn't go anywhere, Father. I did not deviate from your directive that I heard. He didn't articulate the directive. He didn't articulate it. He didn't even do it. But the Father said it was done. Because in his heart, he would have gone all the way had that angel not have stopped him. Do we need to learn from that story? No matter what we face, we are commanded by the Father to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus. We're called to endure it no matter what we face. No matter what we have to give up, we are called to fulfill his will in our heart. He said, that what you've done, you've withheld your son from me. I know that you fear me, Abraham. He didn't receive this commendation from heaven because he heard it and articulated it, which is what the church, I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know why you want to preach. I don't know why you want to sing. I don't know what's in your heart. But our number one objective in God's kingdom is to hear his word and to do it. No matter what we face. What does that mean? That means abstinence. That means all the sayings of Jesus Christ are we to do. We've lost focus. Or we've never known what truth is in truth, or we just don't give a dang anymore. We do what we want to do. We say what we want to say, regardless of what's at stake. There has to be a differential between us and the world. But we're so void of understanding of God's word that we got 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 memorized. We got that one memorized. Oh, I'll be forgiven. Think about the hell that you're going to put people through because of a selfish, selfish decision. He said, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. There's no gray area in that part of scripture. There's no gray area in scripture at all. Abraham wasn't even born again. Wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet, the Father said through an angel, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son from me, I know that you fear me. But what the Father said he didn't physically do. But he did it in his heart. Completely did it in his heart. When Abraham was going to take his son's life, you know what he was doing? He was giving his life at the same time that he was taking his son's life. That's exactly what he was doing. He was taking his own life. He was denying himself. He was denying his agenda, and he was taking his cross even unto death. He was doing those things that pleased God by taking, Father, I know the inheritance is through my seed. I know it's through Isaac, Father. If I slay him, I know you'll raise him again. He said, the thing that you've done, but he didn't do it. Not physically, but in the eyes of the Father, he would have done it. He wasn't commended for believing that there was a God. He was commended for believing the will of God. And there's a difference. So many would say, I believe in God. What does James say? So do the devils, and they tremble. But Abraham was justified through faith because he believed God. There is a big difference in believing that there's a God and believing God at his word. That's where we fell. Nowhere in the Bible is there a definition given of what love is other than a man or woman that keeps the word of God. Nowhere is it. I don't care how beautiful you sing. I don't care how much you pray in tongues. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you read the Bible. All those assist the agape process, but none of them are the actual love. All those things lead us into the walk of lust. I don't care how many 40-day fasts you've done. I don't care how many hours you prayed in tongues. If you can't walk in love, you've completely missed it. And love is keeping His word. Love is defined by obedience to God's word. Nothing else. And love is not an option, but we make it an option. Disannulling the truth that's in the gospel. Till the day we die, we're going to be faced with decisions, facing the flesh. Now, there's a lot of preachers out there that say that Christians worry about the flesh too much. But the Apostle Peter said, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. There's a contemporary group that says, grace says that it doesn't matter that the cross is won at all. Well, that's not what the Apostle Peter said. He said, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. What did the Apostle Paul say? That no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That's where we miss it in the body of Christ. We allow a feeling to be a dictator. That's why there's failure. That's why there's fornication in the body. That's why there's adultery in the body. That's why there's revelings in the body. That's why there's divorce in the body. Because we live our life according to feeling and not according to the internal word of God that is true and abides forever. That's why I failed. That's why you have failed, because we lived our life according to an emotion and not according to that which equals love in our heart, obeying God's word. We've completely deviated from it. Completely. Living out a false narrative out of our mind. No regard for God's word. There has to be a difference between us and the world. There has to be. There has to be a differential. There has to be a differential. There has to be. We got to show some guts. Walking in love is not always pleasant. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes you got to dig deep in the trenches. Deep. Father, I want to say it, but I won't. Father, I want to do it, but I won't. We just recently, a week and a half ago, with 30 players, played the number 10 ranked team in the entire nation. A bunch of boys from the hood in Miami, Carroll City. Big boys. Big boys. 8 to 9 Division I players coming out of their senior class. Big boys. Number 10 ranked team in the nation came to little old Immokalee. And our boys were getting smoked 21-0. After 6 plays, the score was 21-0. I said, oh my God, it's going to be 150-0. Then, Immokalee pride kicked in. Against the number 10, this team won the 6A state title last year. 8 to 9 Division I players coming out of their senior year. Ranked number 10 in the nation, came to little old Immokalee with 19,000 year-round residents. Our boys were getting thrown around like ragdolls. And then the Immokalee pride rose up. And they beat us 62-42, but we scored 42 points against a number 10 team in the nation. They dug deep. They could have gotten mocked. They could have quit. But they stood. They lost. But the coach of Miami Carroll City went up to our athletic director and said, man, your boys are tough. You put 42 points on us, and they won state last year. Our boys dug deep. They could have quit. They could have deviated from their gut. But they dug deep and fought to the end. If boys can do that on the football field regarding a game that at the end of the day means nothing, should not me and you be able to dig deep and entrench ourselves in the scripture to do that thing which is right, to show the world that there is a separation between us and the world? but we don't know what love is. We don't even know half the things that we say. I've so much nonsense on Facebook. My God, I can't believe what's on there. And then Christians say, amen. Abraham didn't deviate. In the beginning, in the middle, or at the end of his temptation. And that, my friends, was a temptation. I would have told God to go jump in the lake. I ain't killing my son. By this we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. One thing validates the truth that we walk in love. If we keep his commandments. Well, Lord, she cheated on me and I'm going to cheat back on her. You dummy. Well, Lord, they stole from me. I'm going to go get it back. You dummy. You sold your testimony out for money? Lord, I deserve a break from church. I'm going to go get drunk. You dummy. Lord, I love you with all my heart, but I know this is a man for me, Lord. He's not born again yet, Lord, but I just know I got to give myself to him to introduce him to the gospel. You dummy. You dummy. I got to go to the bar with him, Lord. He's not born again. I got to let my light shine in that bar. Oh, you dummy. You dummy. I got to get a little tipsy sometimes, but I don't get drunk. You dummy. You don't have an infirmity in your stomach. The wine that Paul told Timothy to partake of was because he had an infirmity in his stomach. Alcohol is not wine. It's a man-made beverage to get you drunk. Don't judge me. I'm not judging you. You don't have an infirmity in your stomach. We know that scripture, don't we? But don't judge me. We got to spend time in the scriptures, man. We got to spend time in the scriptures. We have to spend time in the scriptures. And I find no other way than the way Pastor Dave Roberson taught me. You take an epistle and you stay there till you see the image. Not till you can articulate it. Abraham did not articulate, the Bible records, what God told him to do. He just heard and he did. Whatever happened to hearing God's word and doing it? Whatever happened to that? What happened to hearing God in simplicity and fulfilling what we heard? But no, we hear, we remember, oh, God's called me to teach. He wants us to hear and to do to bring him glory. Our ministry is to fulfill our calling in this world to glorify him. We're called born of God, of spiritual DNA, to fulfill his will here on earth, regardless of what we face. Even the chopping block, we stand firm in our conviction. Renounce or you die. Go ahead and kill me. I'm not going to renounce, because you know what? You are the one that wants to kill me. I got to sow a seed in your life to let you know that God is of a real in me, sir. You want to kill me for the faith? Take it. Hopefully, I'll sow a seed in you after you kill me. That's what he's after. He's after soldiers, man. Soldiers. He's not after culture. He's after soldiers. He's after men and women that walk in truth. Conviction. Have a mindset that, Lord, come hell or high water, I'm going to obey your word, Lord. I'm going to obey it, even if it hurts, and it hurts sometimes, friends. I'm sure it hurt Abraham for 3 days. But God said, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son from me, I know that you fear me, and we're blessed through Abraham's obedience. There's going to come a persecution on the church like never before. Like never before. I heard Gary Carpenter say the other day, if you can't stay away from a donut, you're not going to endure the persecution that's coming. If you can't say no to a donut and fast now, when the persecution comes, you're going to fold. It's coming, my friends. The writing is on the wall. I know the Muslim hates us. I know that. But we're being hated by our government. We're being hated by fellow Americans. If you're conservative, they're trying to shut us up. And the church is amening that narrative. We amen it. That's why judgment must begin in the house of God first. We are the ones who have the light of God inside of us. We're the ones that endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, no matter what we face. We're the ones that live according to kingdom principles and not according to our upbringing or culture. We just know that there's no upbringing or culture in Jesus Christ. There's kingdom principles, and that's all there is to it. But I wasn't raised like that. We were raised wrong. It's time we speak up. Not just speak, but live also. We stay there behind, just all crammed up, scared of a little persecution, man. What's the worst they can do? Kill you? I'm pro-life till the day I die. Be a cold day in hell before I support a platform that says a man can marry a man. It'll be a cold day in hell before I support a platform that says a man can use the bathroom with a little girl. It'll be a cold day in hell when I serve and or when I vote for a platform that exalts itself over God's word. It'll be a cold day in hell. And even in the church, that won't get amen because we're so indoctrinated by culture instead of the word of God. Call me a switch out if you will, because I am a switch out. I used to be a son of Satan, now I'm a son of God with one mindset, and that's the kingdom of God and his principles. That kind of preacher is going to get me in trouble one day, but it's okay. That's okay. I'm not scared of a little persecution. I'm not scared, man. If the devil hadn't been able to take me out being blind for 4 years, nothing will. Nothing will. I'm here in the beginning of the temptation, through the middle of it, and towards the end, I'll still be here. Nothing can shut up the operation that's inside of me and you. Nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop us but me and you. Nothing can stop us but me and you. We steward that anointing that's inside of us. Situations don't steward it. We steward it. The power of God lives inside of me and you. We can hear his word. We can do it and bring him glory. Why do you talk about politics? My friends, same-sex marriage is not political. Being pro-life, you big dummy, is not political. That's the word of God. If you hold it as politics, then you probably support it. It is not political. When the church starts approving of those demonic platforms, now I can understand why Peter said judgment must begin in the house of God. It must begin in the house of God. When we start calling evil good, you might want to check your heart. I don't care who it is that gets mad at me. I don't care if you're Mexican, Haitian, or black. This is the word of God. Check yourself. If you want to contradict the three things that I just listed, check yourself. Are entitlements worth more than the word of God? Are they worth more than a million babies that are slaughtered every single year up to the ninth month because we want entitlements? The government doesn't owe us nothing. It's our job to raise our children. Our job to raise them. The government can subsidize EBT, they can subsidize welfare, but they cannot subsidize fatherhood in the home. They cannot subsidize it. We got to grow up and grow up quick. We are the city that is set on a hill. We are the ones that live a crucified life. We are the ones that spit out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that live a life of truth, because truth is in us. We live and die by that truth. Paul said, to live to me is gain. We're called to magnify him through death or through life, but we only magnify him when we feel like it. That's where the change has to be. When I don't feel like magnifying him, when I don't feel like saying what's right, when I don't feel like doing what's right, that's where you have a soldier. I don't feel like it, Jesus, but I'm gonna. Lord, my kids aren't serving you. I'm frustrated. I'm just speaking broadly. Lord, I know Miss Rosie left me. I know the world thinks I'm going to fall to pieces, but I'm going to keep soldiering, Lord. Got no money. I'm broke, Lord. Not according to your word, though. Doctor says I'll never see again. Your word says you took my infirmities and you bore my sickness. That's my confession. See, my natural body can't see. My natural eyes can't see, but my spiritual eyes can. Michael Kelly said the other day that Paul was often in prison, but he could endure it because prison was not in him. That was powerful. So Paul was often in prison and endured prison because prison was not in him. It's finished, man. Abraham wasn't born again, and he fulfilled this directive. I know of a sure now, Abraham, that you fear me by doing the thing that you didn't do. You haven't withheld your son from me. Surely me and you can give up gossip. Surely we can give up revelings, right? Surely we can give up drunkenness or strife or envy. Surely we can give up unforgiveness. Surely we can work out a marriage. Surely we can give up fornication or adultery. Surely we can. Surely we can. That, my friends, is walking in love. That is walking in love. Ladies, beautiful ladies, handsome looking men, abstinence is not a cuss word. It is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. Don't let any man talk you into anything. He said, if you love me, you put a ring on my finger, boy. And let me see how much money you make. Just playing. He that practices these things, listen to me, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He lists 14 to 15 things that Christians do, that if they continue to do them, he said they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He that's born of God, he sinneth not. If you've been sinning for a long time, you might want to check yourself, my friends, to make sure you are born again. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If we don't serve God, disannulling his word, we are mistaken. The parallel of loving God is keeping his word. There is no measuring stick outside of that to walking in the love of God. It's measured by how much we keep his word. Some of you are not agreeing with me right now, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. But I'll be in there all week long. If you can find something to contradict what I say, please correct me in there. I'll be there. Please correct me. We are the salt of this earth, my friends. We are. Let's show the world that we love Jesus by doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Surely we can give him that handle that is so tormenting us. Surely we can give him that sin that we are indulging in. Surely we can give it to him. If Abraham can give him his son, we can give him that filth that has us in bondage right now. Surely it's just a matter of wanting to. This book has to be in us to bring transformation to our mind. All the people that I know that are strong in God are those that spend time in this book. The people that I know that are inconsistent have very little knowledge of the scriptures. Very little. Very little. And that's evident in their inconsistencies. So evident. We've never been instructed just to pray in tongues. You're wrong. I pray in tongues all day long along with this. You've never been instructed just to hear tapes and grow. Never. That's not what Pastor Dave ever taught us, and that's not what the Word of God teaches us. If you think you can grow without this, you are wrong. You are completely wrong and in error. And it's just a matter of time before you flat out go into the gray, into flat out darkness. Amen. By this we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. I hear my buddy over here to the left. By this we know that we know him, right? If we keep his commandments. Hallelujah. Abraham fulfilled the directive of heaven, being spiritually dead, mystery. He offered up his son without physically doing it. He was going to do it. Surely, 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 not surely, surely, we can live holy before our Father here on this earth with the spiritual DNA inside of us. Surely we can. Amen. Stand with me, please. Father, we worship you. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness, for your word, for the Holy Spirit, for transformation, for the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much that we stand firm to the end, Lord, regardless of what we face. We crucify culture. We put it on the cross where it belongs, Father, and we live our life according to kingdom principles. Culture means nothing to us, Father. Culture means nothing to us. It means nothing to us. It means nothing to us. We live and we operate according to the principles of the kingdom of God. Culture means nothing to me, and it means nothing to them, Father. We stand firm in the conviction of the gospel. We thank you, Father, until we meet again on Wednesday. Father, we thank you for every one of them here. I pray, Father, that the desire of their week, of their day, even today, were to be is to find an epistle and just camp in it over and over and over again till they develop the image of that epistle inside of their heart, Father. I worship you and I praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you. See you Wednesday.